You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy show coming up today. Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau going to be here after 9:35. A lot of people applying for U.S. passports.
All right. Yeah.
And there are some issues.
Oh,
there's always a scammer out there trying to make money off of somebody.
There's always a scammer out there making money off people.
Pretty much, unfortunately. So Lisa Schiller from the BBB is going to join us at 9:35 to give you some heads up, give us all some heads up about what scams to be on the lookout for, particularly if you are applying for a U.S. passport. So stick around for that. In hour number two at 10 o'clock, Bob Kennedy Jr., testifying yesterday on Capitol Hill. He's big on wearables. Like an Apple Watch. You have an Apple Watch.
I do not have an Apple Watch.
Oh, what is the thing?
This is just a Garmin. It's not an Apple Watch.
Bob Jr., all big on wearables. We should all have them. We should all subscribe to them. We'll kick that around next hour.
Very cheap, too, by the way.
Oh, yes. So reasonable. Yeah. And then, as we always do, after the 10:30 news.
What time is it after 10:30?
It is 10:35. It's time for Audio Sorbet.
What does that mean?
It's where we take a break from the news and get away from deep, heavy, important things and talk about silly, non-important things. We lost Bobby Sherman yesterday.
Yeah.
At the age of 81. Mm-hmm. And so we started talking about kid crushes. I had his Tiger Beat picture on my wall.
When you were a youngster, what was your teen crush?
Who
was your teen crush? Mm-hmm.
Who was your crush when you were a kid? That is Audio Sorbet after 10:30. And then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Don't Go in the Water edition. Mm. There's a visual element as well, so stick around for that. Just a reminder, if you were looking for some new outfits, perhaps,
like
to take out on the street over the summer.
Some threads.
You're looking for some new threads. You can always go to civicmedia.us, click on the shop button. There could soon be new merchandise on our website for this very program.
Many people have said
that we're very close to having Matt Nair on Air merchandise.
I mean, some would even say we've seen pictures of this merchandise.
Well, some could say that there have been pictures and mock-ups and things like that. But hopefully soon you can debut your new merch, perhaps with a Matt Nair on Air logo on it.
Yeah.
We will let you know when those arrive. But even so, you can still buy a Civic Media hat right now. You can buy a Civic Media t-shirt.
Yeah.
Support hometown radio. Support Civic Media and help share the message.
Yes.
By wearing some new merch.
And also, you know what? Today, tell one friend. Tell one friend about us. That's my challenge to you. Just one friend. That's
just
all you need to do.
Mention it. Yeah. Tell them to check us out. Mm-hmm. We have talked a lot about childcare because this is a big issue, not just in Wisconsin, but across the state. This article from the Wisconsin Examiner, we have Eric Gunn with the byline. Business leaders now join the push for childcare investment in Wisconsin budget. Last week, more than 75 business leaders sent a letter to members of the Wisconsin legislature saying Wisconsin's lingering child care crisis can't go unaddressed any longer by state lawmakers. Wisconsin at a workforce crossroads that presents significant challenges for businesses. Yeah, if we lose child care, and again, this additional funding for the Child Care Counts program expires either the end of this month or early next month.
I think it's the end of this month.
The money will be gone.
Yeah.
And the estimate is that, what, 1 in 4?
1 in 4, which would equate to 1,000
child care centers
that will close down. That's on top of all the others that have closed over the years because of this ongoing problem.
Yep.
One quarter of those centers will close because this has not come to a solution. That is from Corrine Hendricks. She is an expert, a child care provider, an advocate, and she has all the numbers. And if you want to listen to a great interview,
yes,
last Friday she was on the show in the first hour at 9:35. She talked about this extensively. But yeah, we are at a crossroads, and it's once again all of these groups of people who I'm sure they disagree on very many topics, voted for different people,
right?
But they're all coming together to say, yeah, there needs to be a solution here.
75 business leaders writing to the state legislature last week saying, hey, can we do something about this? Can mm-hmm. we actually get this done?
Yeah.
There is general recognition among business leaders that childcare is essential for workers, especially those with young children. This from David Salata, VP at the Greater Milwaukee Foundation. He says the true cost of care and why most working families can't afford it is a complex issue. It is.
Mm-hmm.
But this requires some sort of public investment to strengthen our child care sector. And of course, Robin Voss, he says he's open to working with the governor on child care, but is still firmly opposed to writing out checks to providers.
But I just, he doesn't want to work then. He doesn't want to do this together. He doesn't want to compromise. He wants his way. And his way is always no welfare. Well, when you frame it like that, Robin, yeah, you sound like the man who's king of the bootstraps. But this is not, that is such a not nuanced answer to such a deeply nuanced conversation.
Seriously.
And your proposal of giving tax credits to businesses to open child care centers in their facilities, that's insulting.
Why is it insulting?
Because they've made it very clear what these individuals need. Child care providers, parents, the businesses, they've made it very clear what is necessary to get past this. But what do these members of the Joint Finance Committee and Republicans do? They say, we've got a solution, guys. We got it. Sit down. It's great. It's great. We're going to give money to businesses to open their own child care centers. Fixed.
Well, and it's an interesting choice because on the one hand, Robin Voss is very against giving money directly to providers.
Yes.
But we'll give money directly to other industries to open a child care center. Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if he doesn't think that child care providers are .. business owners. Because I don't know about you, Jane, if I was an elected official, one thing I would hate to go back to my district to and say is I am responsible for one quarter of a certain section of business closing.
Well, and then what about the fallout from that? If we lose another 1,000 child care centers, mm-hmm. what is going to happen to the people who depend upon that for child care so they can go to work? So we're going to start seeing more people leaving the workforce at the time that we need to encourage more people to get into the workforce.
I have a feeling that the overall thought of that, Jane, is who cares? Let the moms stay home. The dads can go to work.
The way it was meant to be, Greg.
Call grandma, call grandpa, uncles, aunts. Hey, Grandma June, are you enjoying the twilight of your life? Are you in retirement? Come on over. Take care of these kids for free. You're only 82.
But you're making a joke, but that has actually been brought up.
Oh, it is called sarcasm.
Mm. Yeah, but there that has been brought up.
Yes, exactly. By the Vice President of the United States of America.
Grandparents need to be stepping mm-hmm. up. Aunts and uncles yep. need to be stepping up to take care of your nieces and nephews so people in that household can go to work.
And for the record, by the way, and this is also something that's been covered by Corrine many times on our show and on other shows, these child care providers, these daycare centers, these business owners who, I don't know if you know this, Jane, they are, as the politicians call, the backbones of this country.
Small businesses, yes.
They're not asking for billions of dollars. They're not asking to get enough money to buy a second Maserati. They don't even own a Maserati. They want to be able to pay their workers $13 an hour. That is below the $15 general idea of minimum wage, but they want to give them a small raise so they can live and they can, and also so they don't have to raise their prices again.
Well, right. And don't you want qualified people to go into childcare and those kinds of things? Because the other things that Republicans have suggested is, well, just like 16-year-olds watch kids.
And put more kids together.
Those
are that was their big fix, I think, like a year and a half ago was, we're going to lower the age on who can take care of kids, and we'll make sure that you can put more kids in a room. Because that solves the problem. More children in a space. With
less oversight.
With younger people who are less experienced. That is the absolute solution. Congratulations, Wisconsin Republicans and legislators in Madison. You have fixed it. Thanks a lot.
855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, Christine and Slinger, listening on WAUK. Greg, haven't you been paying attention? These lawmakers don't answer to their constituents. They just don't care. I'm telling you, Christine, it sure feels like that.
I mean,
Robert, it really does.
Anytime you try to, I don't want to even say take away the power of the legislative branch. I want to say anytime you try to introduce the opinion of the people, Robin Voss always comes back with, well, this is a representative democracy. Well, then represent the democracy. And or someone like Chris Kapinga, who says something to the effect of, they are the voice of the people. Well, you're not properly echoing the voice of the people. You're out of tune, because time and time again, this is a topic in which Wisconsinites agree on.
Yes.
There was a poll done that Corrine talked about, which polled 2,600 people. And of that 2,600 people, there were parents in there. And an overwhelming amount, I think 75%, did not use childcare. But 80% of those individuals said, we needed a fix to the childcare crisis. This is a no-brainer.
It would be a win.
It would be a win for everyone.
Yeah. And again, you know, we don't have a real high regard for our lawmakers. This might actually boost their poll numbers a little bit if they actually did something that constituents tell them, yeah, we want this.
I mean, are you not frustrated, listeners and watchers? I mean, this is frustrating to me, because these are the things that are going to benefit everyone. And those wins are good for everyone. And when they don't happen, when there's such obstinance, when they're sitting there going, well, we don't want to do this, we don't want to do that, what you're saying to me every single time is, we don't want to give Governor Evers a win, we don't want to give Democrats a win, and we don't want to give the people of Wisconsin a win. And that is, to me, just petty, childish behavior.
Well, but I go back to as well that Robin Voss and Lemahue and Kapinga, they all believe they know best.
Yep.
They know best. Mm-hmm. That $4 billion surplus we're sitting on, they know the best way to spend it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're a representative government, except when you're on the Joint Finance Committee and you have meetings around the state, and then you ignore the top three issues that you have heard from the people you allegedly represent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there seems to be a disconnect there.
Folks, if you ever wonder how the voice of the people can be, presented to our lawmakers, myvote.wi.gov.
You can call them.
You can write them a letter. It's very easy to do. It's simple. It won't take very long. Be nice to the people you're talking to, but tell them, and it doesn't even have to be childcare, by the way. If this is not an issue that is firmly on your plate, whatever is concerning you, myvote.wi.gov.
Stay with us when we return. Well, this sounds like a good idea in Wisconsin. Let's pay for it. That might help. All the details on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Dr. Slide is on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And if you have the Civic Media app now, you can also leave a voice note.
Mm-hmm. It's very easy.
It is super easy. There's a button there, and you push it, and you record it, and then you send it.
And then boom, and then we listen to it and make sure it's, listening okay for the radio.
There you go.
Yeah, yes. But yeah, do that.
Send us a voice note. Just a heads up, we have Brewers hosting the Pirates a little bit later on, 12:35 today. Our broadcast starts pitching duel.
The Miz versus the other guy.
I still think of him now as Nuke LaLoosh. Because when we first were talking about Miz, who's our new young, really super hot pitcher.
Yeah.
and they had talked about he has some control issues.
Yeah.
That takes me back to the movie Bull Durham.
Yeah.
Where the pitcher was Nuke Lelouch and he would hit the mascot with his pitches. Yeah. So, but yes, Miz and the other guy, big pitching matchup today.
You heard it here, folks.
Should be a good game. Should be a good game. Wanted to spend a little time about this. Actually, right before we went to the break, we were talking about an article in the Wisconsin Examiner that talks about 75 business leaders in Wisconsin have now sent a letter to the legislature saying, yeah, child care, can we fix this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can we do something about this? That might be good. John from Menominee Falls texting in, listening on WAUK. It's all about the money. If they spend money on the people who really need it in this state, then they don't get to have the massive tax cut for themselves so they can afford to live with nannies to care for their own kids.
And there is a real amount of truth to that when legislator, because a lot of legislators are, if not wealthy, rich, if not rich, well off, and their lives consist of easier fix than other people, and they don't understand that. They don't understand that $250 a week per child average for childcare is hard.
We're talking about $13,000 a year. If you're paying $253 or something like that,
exactly.
It works out to like $13,000 a year.
Per child. And as Corrine Hendricks put it, if this doesn't happen, she has to raise her prices again, which causes the parents to say, okay, can we even afford this? So
is it worth me? Is it worth both of us working in order to pay this?
And it just, like I said before, Jane, their inability to come to the table and really work on solutions that are compromise, if not something that just benefits everyone, with the businesses who sign this letter, the small businesses that are the daycare, the kids themselves who benefit from early childhood development, and the parents, the whole thing. Your inability to do anything just makes it sound mean, makes it sound like you're doing this purposely, like you don't care about children, businesses, parents, like the whole thing. It doesn't matter to you.
Well, and I think in some of our discussions with Corrine, she's almost kind of implied that when talking to our lawmakers face to face, it's like, do you understand what this means?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, okay. Not my problem.
Yeah. It's we'll find a solution. Don't worry about it.
Well, and again, we're big now, apparently, this time around on putting out programs that we just don't pay for. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Republican-controlled Assembly yesterday passed a GOP bill that aims to recruit out-of-state households to move here to help with work shortages, but there's no grant money attached. So it's like, here's this program we would like you to do, but yeah, there we haven't put any money with it.
What else is new? I mean, there are mandated educational changes that have been put into place that still haven't been paid for. It's like $50 million.
Yeah.
Like Madison does this all the time. We have a program. It was voted on unanimously.
Everybody agreed.
Where's the money? Don't worry about that.
It's coming later.
You pay for it. We'll hit you up on the way. We'll get the next time. But yeah, this doesn't surprise me at all.
Do they think this just makes them look good? That they're, look at our idea. We're not going to pay for it, but look, this is our idea. Our idea. Senator Patrick Testin, Republican from Stevens Point, and Representative David Armstrong, Republican from Rice Lake, would direct the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to set up a program to award grants for talent recruitment programs from outside the state to get people to move here. But again, the discussion on funding is like, yeah, we don't know where we're going to pay for it. Just look at our great program.
Are you going to, I mean, will it be a thing where you reach out to, I'm just going to pick a company, SC Johnson here in Racine. You're going to say to them, all right, here's some grant money, or you provide grant money, or see, it's so confusing. Like you want people to move here. This has been something that's been talked about for years. Our population in Wisconsin has dwindled over the past couple decades.
Yes.
And you want people to move, young families, start, grow their families, buy property, all that stuff. But you also have someone like Robin Voss who's like, we need to make sure that seniors don't pay taxes because we're going to lose them if they don't, if they have to pay tax. Like, their thing is making it look more attractive to live in Wisconsin by appealing to seniors. And now they want to appeal to top talent in business, but they have no way of paying for it. They want people to come here, but they have no clue on how to make that happen.
A spokesperson for Governor Evers told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Republicans made a baffling decision to cut spending to WEDC, despite the agency's success in driving economic development here in the state. In 2024, Wisconsin saw a record investment of $2 billion in WEDC-supported capital investments. The agency's talent attraction efforts resulted in over 1,300 inquiries. So again, great program.
Yep.
Let's do it. But let's just not ever pay for it.
No.
No, it's, we'll wait until Robin thinks this is a good idea.
That will be when there's a Republican governor.
We have news coming up next when we return. If you are trying to get a U.S. passport, beware of scams. The Better Business Bureau is going to be here when we come back. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream as well on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, it is the segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to lighten things up a little bit and take a breath away from the news. Sadly, we lost Bobby Sherman. Mm-hmm. Pop idol from the 60s and 70s. Has passed away at the age of 81. So we were talking about who we had a crush on when we were kids, because he was mine.
Yeah.
He was my kid crush.
He was. Okay.
He had that dimple in his chin. It was adorable. Stick around for Audio Sorbet coming up after the 10:30 news. Right now, though, we wanted to talk about a lot of people who are applying for U.S. passports. And as always, there are some terrible people out there who want to scam you. That's why she is here from the Better Business Bureau, Lisa Schiller. Good morning, Lisa. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's talk about these scammers with passports. What is going on for that? And how can people protect themselves?
There's always something new going on, right? This is the thing now. We've been receiving a lot of reports to our BBB scam tracker. People are jumping online, as they do for everything. You know, they're looking for a mover. They're looking to get a passport or a visa. They do an internet search and up pops websites. They click on them and start entering very personal information. So again, seeing this uptick on passport and visa scams, this really involves fraudulent websites that people don't realize are fraudulent initially, that trick people into paying for either obtaining or renewing travel documents such as visas and passports.
And it's not inexpensive. I mean, I want to say renewing your passport is like $150, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing is that a lot of these websites, the price will be a little bit lower. Mm. But yeah, and I think that's what kind of lures people in.
Sure.
Like I'm looking right now at some, you know, notes I made. I looked up some of the scam reports. Somebody paid $98. Somebody paid $66, but then said that they had to pay $25 extra for some service fees. So I think, you know, initially to people that $66 may look cheaper,
yep.
But then as they, you know, move along in the process, oh, well now I have to pay this, you know, shipping fee or whatever it might service fee.
Well, and not to mention, as you said, Lisa, all of the personal information you need to provide in order to get a passport. You don't want to be giving that out to the wrong people. They get your social security number.
I think that's really the worst part of the whole thing, you know, is all your personal information, especially when applying for a passport or a visa. You know, you expect to include every piece of information possible about yourself. You know, nobody, a red flag would not go up like, oh, geez, I shouldn't be giving my social security number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're supplying all this information. And, you know, I hate to even think where it's going to end up.
This is one of those, like the passport for me is one of those instances where I want to walk into a place. Like I walk into the post office or I walk into AAA, they help with passports as well. And you talk to them first and you get the, because you're right. We are such a Google heavy society, Lisa, that we just Google. And if it's
first thing that comes up,
if it's the top three, they have to be reputable, right? Yeah. There's, you can't be on there if you're not reputable, Lisa. Yeah. So yeah, those are one of those things where even now I'm on my second passport. I've been through the process. I know what to do when I have to renew in like 7 or 8 years. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to go to the post office. I'm going to say, all right, I need to renew. What do I need? Because I need to have that official confirmation to my, I don't really want to do it online. It just, even if the website's legit, I'm like, this doesn't feel good.
Makes you a little twitchy.
Yeah.
Makes you a little twitchy.
Right. You know, as it should. I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, even if the website is legitimate, you know, you're still a little leery. And I think that's, you know, kind of where we're at in the world right now. But, you know, bringing that up, it's very important to note for people that really only a legitimate website will end in .gov when it comes to the government and offering these types of, you know, travel documents or official documents of any kind. You know, be very weary of .com, of course, and even .org. You know, in these cases, you have to look for a .gov. In fact, I put out a press release just this week on a particular scam website that we've been receiving a lot of reports on, which was uspassportandvisa.org. And I think that .org is throwing people off and they're moving forward with it and they're losing about $88 a piece.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is on top of the volunteered information that can be used for whatever, you pay that $66, then you pay that $50 for this and the $25 for the shipping fee. But then when you find out it's not a real thing, then you just have to pay the $150 anyways to get the actual passport.
Yeah, then you got to start all over.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, and like you said earlier, you know, everybody is going to Google. You know, I do it. We all do it for everything. I feel like every time I talk about any kind of scam, it starts out that way. You know, whether it be, you know, moving scams or, you know, the grand, whatever it is, you know, it starts with online shopping scams. It starts with people Googling. So you have to be really careful.
Would you, and really quick too about this is, you know, I think we always bring this up, is that I think people have a tendency on this topic to think that scams affect the older folks, the elderly, those who aren't as tech savvy, but that's not true at all. These, especially is something where you're looking at passports and visas.org. That's something that anyone can fall for. That's something that anyone can say, oh, this looks official.
This looks legit.
Those scams know no age.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a very good point. And actually, you know, with a lot of scams nowadays, maybe most is going too far, but with a lot of scams, we're seeing the younger age groups falling for them. And I think that's because, you know, the younger age groups are online more than the older age groups.
Sure.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking to Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin, and we're talking about the latest and the freshest scam that's out there, which is a passport scam. And of course, as said before, if you're looking to get your passport online, make sure it ends in .gov. Go from
G-O-V.
There. Yep. Or go to your local post office. They'll take care of you as well. You mentioned the moving scam, Lisa. What is the moving scam? Because I know that when we moved into our house, it wasn't even Googling off that website. It was through U-Haul. They offered all these services for movers, and you could click a moving service. But I would look at their review, and sometimes they said things like, I paid, they didn't show up. And that's it. They have your money. Is that what you're talking about, or is it something more nefarious?
Yeah, no. And I mentioned moving because I happened to do a TV interview yesterday with a local TV reporter in regard to moving scams. We see these on a regular basis. Better Business Bureau did a study on moving scams just a couple of years ago, and we've updated that information as well. So moving scams really involve moving companies that you know, appear to be local, appear to be real legitimate moving companies, but really are either rogue movers or they could be brokers, you know, third parties. There's just so much involved when it comes to people moving. May was National Moving Month. And, you know, we know that not only in the month of May because of college students ending their terms, but, you know, it being summer in Wisconsin, this is a good time to move. I mean, nobody wants to move in the middle of winter if they don't have to. So it's just a more common time. So I think the story was very timely. But, you know, we really just wanted to send out a message that, you know, watch out for moving scams and, you know who you're hiring to move your items. A lot of times what happens is the companies don't want to come out and do an actual estimate and view your, you know, the items that you have, the merchandise that you have. They want to give you an estimate over the phone, which can sometimes be okay. But, you know, you have to be very aware of the fact that, you know, once they come and pick up your items, you know, what is that price going to go up? Is it going to double? Is it, you know, are they going to move your items? And then once they drop it off, say, you know, because we hear this often,
right?
You know, I'm now you owe, you know, a lot more money mm-hmm. because you had a lot more items than we expected. And then, you know, the person goes, well, wait a minute, I agreed on this price. And they go, well, guess what? We're not giving you your stuff. Your whole life is in our truck. And now yeah. you're stuck. And that is what we see happen all the time. They hold the items hostage. I mean, we've known, you know, companies to, and I use the term loosely sometimes, but they put the items in storage and go, heck, if they're not going to pay us, then, you know, we're not giving them their stuff. And that's what happens.
And so, how do we protect ourselves from this, Lisa?
Right. Well, you got to do your research on the front end, right? You have to know who you're hiring. You know, do your research, know that you're, you know who you're hiring, know where the company is. They're well established. You know, ask a lot of questions when you talk to the moving company. Make sure that, you know, you ask if they're going to do the entire move or are they hiring a third party? Is there going to be a broker involved? Because oftentimes there is, and people don't realize that, you know, until a truck shows up without any lettering on it. And even then people, you know, just kind of think, oh, the moving company is here. Well, it's not the moving company that you contracted with or that you hired, you know, initially. So, you know, ask a lot of questions, make sure you have a contract, make sure everything is spelled out in that contract. You know, as far as the costs, the pickup date, the delivery date, the place of pickup, the place of delivery, you can't ask enough questions really.
Unfortunately, that means that we're going to all have to start reading all the fine print on everything. Those eensy beensy little teeny things that you can barely read. Yes.
Well, I think another aspect that's very valuable is if you are of a certain age, you have friends who have moved and you ask advice and you ask questions like, did you get movers? Who did you use? Did you like the experience? My wife had an experience when she moved to Wisconsin. She went through a broker who hired a company in Illinois and a company in Wisconsin. The company, the moving company in Illinois got the wrong size truck, and the company in Wisconsin never showed up. So it was just a terrible experience from top to bottom. So it's those are the things you have to go through to say, like, all right, well, now we know our lesson, and we'll tell other people. We've said it before, and share what you know. If you have a friend who's moving, share your experience.
855-752-4842. If you have a question for Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau talking about scams, there's a whole bunch of them out there. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to ask?
Good morning, and hi, Lisa. I've been wondering about this for a long time. So many times you see the ads for this card or that card where you get free money from the government for to buy your groceries or do whatever you want with the money on this card. I want to know, can you tell me, are they scams? Are they for real? Or is it an insurance company trying to sell insurance?
Is this something you're familiar with, Lisa?
You know, I have to be honest, I am not at all. I have not heard of this, but you know, in cases like this, I would invite you to please send me a photocopy. You know, I'll be happy to look into it and get back to you personally and let you know what I found out. I'm not familiar with
those cards. Lisa and Ollie, we'll put a link in our show notes so that you can email Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau. But the one thing I would say, that sounds too good to be true. If the government is coming to you and saying, here's a debit card with free money on it on us, that would, I think that should be a little warning sign to you. We're going to continue our conversation with Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau. Stay close. And you can always call with a question at 855-752-4842. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She is from the Better Business Bureau. We're talking all things scams. Lisa Schiller is here, and we wanted to talk a little bit about charity scams. And I'm embarrassed to admit this because we have talked to you numerous times, and I like to think I'm pretty savvy about scams because you've been a guest so often. And I, you know, I know what I'm talking about. I know what to look out for. Yeah, no. I fell for one over the weekend. We have a colleague who has some medical issues within his family, and I saw a post on social media. They're looking for, it's a go, you know, go, we're raising funds as their family goes through this medical problem. And I jumped right on it and donated money. And until I got a text a short time later from a colleague here at Civic Media who said, yeah, we did that 3 days ago and it was a scam. So I ended up canceling my credit card. I put in a dispute for the charge. Mm-hmm. We'll see whether or not I get that back. But how do we... How do we get more educated about those things, those charity scams, those GoFundMe kinds of things, Lisa?
Yeah, the GoFundMe is an entirely different thing. And I could see how you, you know, would, I don't want to say fall for that. But yeah, I mean, you know, I could see that happening. First of all, when it comes to giving, we're doing it with our hearts, right? Mm. And that's what leads us. And, you know, I think we've all done this where we've seen, you know, a plea on social media or something, and it tugs at our heartstrings and we can't give quick enough. I know I've done it as well, Jane. And those are especially tricky. Is that what happened? Did you find out it was a fake GoFundMe page?
It was a fake. Yep. It was a fake. Yep. It was a fake charity. Yep. Fake fundraiser.
Those are the worst.
I hope those people burn. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to throw that out there. I hope they burn really slowly. I'm just saying.
No, I hear you. You know, that's just it. If you see a GoFundMe or, you know, some type of plea for a donation, I guess you really have to, you know, maybe check with somebody before making the donation to make sure that it's legitimate. And, you know, I know it's going to take a little bit of extra time, but, you know, before you go ahead and insert your credit card number in, you know, maybe just if there's any way to check with someone else, make sure it's legit.
Yeah. I could have directly reached out to my colleague. Text would probably have done it, and I would have. You're right. It was just taking that one extra step to make sure that it was legitimate, which I did not do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and that's because you love, you know, you lead with your heart, and that, you know, we're human, and that just makes sense, really. And again, those GoFundMes are a little bit harder than you know than others because, you know, in any other case, I would say, you know, verify a charity's legitimacy through the Better Business Bureau's charity arm, our website, give.org, you know, or another one. But, you know, in that case, the situation's a little bit different.
Lisa, in the time we have left, you mentioned something about a press release you put out about storm chasers. I am intrigued.
Yeah, well, it's that time of year where we're seeing, at least I feel, you know, and I feel like every year it gets to be a little bit more and more. There's more storms, there's more tornadoes. We hear about more hurricanes, flooding, right? Wildfires.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all of it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's so, you know, and all of these types of natural disasters bring out really the best in people and strangers that help in need. But it also, unfortunately, brings out you know, contractors who might want to take advantage of those who have already been victimized. So we did put out a warning. You know, we have this weird weather going on again. We just want to make sure that homeowners are very aware that, you know, there are storm chasers and out-of-town contractors that like to solicit for business. They go door to door. And of course, I'll put a disclaimer that not all door-to-door contractors, not all storm chasers are scammers, but many of them may lack the proper licensing that they need. They, you know, are not always local, which can be a problem should you need, you know, something down the road. They're not just, you know, up the street where they can come out and, you know, fix, you know, something that came off of your roof that they had fixated on. So, you know, very important. We have some really great tips. Number one, contact your insurance company first. So if you get contacted at your doorstep, you know, somebody telling you that they're in your area, they were doing work or they were driving by, they're a contractor, they happen to notice, oh, look at your roof.
Right.
You know, it looked like you had some hail damage. You know, people can be caught off guard and they can, you know, become very, nervous.
Sure.
Yeah. Because they're, you know, they weren't aware of that. And now someone's knocking on their door telling them, oh, there's a problem
looks
up there.
Bad.
They can't
yeah.
see it.
Yeah.
So number one, contact your insurance company, ask about your policy coverage. You know, maybe they will send somebody out to inspect the so-called damage before anything else is done. And of course, be especially careful of any door-to-door contractors. Oftentimes they request that you sign over insurance checks to them. Better Business Bureau all the time. Better Business Bureau recommends getting an invoice from the contractor and paying them directly if that is the case. Always pay with a credit card if there's any payment from you that is needed. Be cautious of any request to pay it up front or, of course, in full up front. Storm chasers like to ask for full payment or very large down payments before any work begins, right, or any supplies are delivered. This is a red flag. And, you know, be wary of places you can't see, like I just mentioned. Not only your roof, but also, you know, crawl spaces and, that type of thing.
Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau. We will include all the contact information in there. Use the scam tracker. Mm-hmm. It's very, very valuable. Lisa, thank you so much. Really enjoy when you join us. And thank you for making me feel better about myself. I appreciate that. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.